Words to live by. We're looking at Proverbs. Proverbs are wise sayings. And this January, we're going through the book of Proverbs, the January challenge for each of you to read a proverb each day, 1 through 31, to correspond with the day of the month in January. And then also we have the daily devotional. And those are on the website. There's also a few hard copies out at the Welcome Center if you're computer challenged. But I hope that you're doing that. I've been hearing stories of different people that have been doing that starting last Tuesday as we started the month of January. And it's been neat to hear the stories and just different people from leadership at Hannaford that have been writing each of the daily ones. They're all on the website, so if you've missed them, you can go back and get a day. You can just scroll right down through the days. And so encourage you to do that. You say, I've already missed the first 5 days. We'll start today. I know it will be an encouragement and a challenge to each one of you as we go through the book of Proverbs here in January. As a kid, my brother and I got an ant farm. Who here had an ant farm or has an ant farm? And, several of you have them. So I remember my brother and I had this ant farm, and it was fun because, and I remember it had the little green edge, and they put the sand there in the bottom, and you watch them work. Amazing to watch those ants work. And this morning, we're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11, and it gives the picture, the illustration of the ant and the diligence that the ant demonstrates. And so we're going to be looking at that. Before we do that, I just want to give a little bit of an intro into Proverbs, and the guy that wrote almost all of the Proverbs, his name was Solomon. And in 1 Kings, it shares about Solomon's reign. And if you remember the story, Solomon was the son of David, and he was made king of Israel. And when his father David died, Solomon became the king. And God gave Solomon the opportunity to make a wish that God promised that he would grant. And Solomon asked not for riches or for power, he asked for wisdom. And so God granted Solomon wisdom to rule the people of Israel as their king. And in 1 Kings chapter 4, you can just listen as I read these verses. Beginning in verse 29, it sort of gives an overview of what took place in Solomon's reign. It says this, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart like the sand on the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, Chalco, and Darda, the sons of Mahol. And his fame was in all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spoke of trees, from the cedars of Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of animals, of birds, of creeping things, and of fish. And men of all nations, from all the kings of the earth, who had heard of his wisdom, came to hear the wisdom of Solomon." So we see Solomon, the incredible wisdom that he had. Now, in Proverbs, there's 915 verses, or Proverbs, in those 31 chapters. And so obviously Solomon had written a lot more that weren't included in Scripture, but were known of the people there, these wise sayings. And Proverbs deals with wisdom, words of wisdom. And what is wisdom? Wisdom is applied knowledge. There are a lot of very smart people that do a lot of very dumb things. Why? Because they're knowledgeable, but they don't apply that knowledge. And the challenge for us is to take and to have the knowledge, but to apply the knowledge in wisdom. And if you look at Proverbs and you read through the Proverbs, oftentimes they're a contrast. It says something like, the wise man does this, but the fool does that. And so many times as you read, and most of the Proverbs are just one verse or two verses, and we've compiled them, or they compiled them into chapters as we read them in Scripture, but these wise words, words to live by, wisdom that we're to follow. And so we see here Solomon was challenging us, as well as the people of Israel, in practical living. The Proverbs are very practical in their application. This is how you should live. This is how you should watch what you say. This is how you should treat other people. This is how you should gain wisdom. This is how you should respond to God. And this morning, we're going to be looking at this is how you should work. Diligence. Whether on the job, in your house, wherever you're at, you are to be known as a diligent person. And Solomon contrasts diligence versus laziness. And oftentimes laziness, he uses the term the sluggard. It basically simply means a lazy person. The diligent acts like this. The character of the diligent can be described in this way, and the character of the sluggard or the lazy person can be described that way. And so there are many, many proverbs that look at diligence and laziness. And I need to make a disclaimer before we begin this morning. Sometimes people say, oh yeah, so you know, you're sitting there, you're going to be preaching on something that you know that we're poor at. No, I watch our church family and I watch and I'm amazed at the diligence. But we all have a responsibility to be diligent and to work to be more diligent in our lives. So if you hear me, I'm going to be saying, I don't know, I think there's some strong words from God's Word. I want you to know that I am amazed at the diligence of our people, but we all can make sure we continue to be diligent. So you all have that, so now you don't have to go home and you say, he talked to my boss this week, and so he's preaching at me. No, not doing that. Haven't had any bosses call up, can you talk to your people about diligence because so-and-so really needs that? Yeah. We all need to be encouraged, so I trust you will be as your challenge this morning. Let's pray and ask for God's blessing. Father, we're so amazed at your goodness and your love, and I pray that you would help us this morning. Help us as we are challenged with the importance of diligent, that we would be diligent people, that we would be known for our work ethic, that we would honor you in the way we work, whether it's on the job, in our family, in our neighborhood, wherever it is, and whatever the project, that we would be diligent in honoring you in our work. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 6. I've been reading verses 6 through 11. Beginning in verse 6, it says, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come upon you like a prowler and your need like an armed man. Throughout Proverbs, Solomon gives a great deal of time about the importance of diligence and a comparison, a contrast between the diligent and the lazy man. So this morning, we're going to be looking at a few of these contrasts of the character of the diligent versus the lazy man and the results of both of those, or in the lives of both of those people. So let's begin by looking at this comparison. A lazy man will not start a project. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 4 says, a lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing. In other words, as the year begins and as the time to start planting begins, the lazy man will find reasons that he shouldn't start his planting. And when the harvest comes, he will have no crops that are ready. They find a reason not to start a project. Now, it's interesting as we begin a new year, we oftentimes reflect on the old and look forward to the new. And last week we did a little bit of that, and I trust that you were encouraged in seeing how God did amazing things in the life of our church, as well as the life of individuals, and we see God's hand. But one of the things that I like to do is I like to set New Year's resolutions or goals for the new year. Now, one of the things, if I'm not so diligent, that's a benefit for a new year. See, I can take some of my goals for 2018 and I can just erase the 8 and put a 9. See, and I already have my goal set out for 2019. And a lazy man can be like that. And you have this thing, okay, I'm going to be working on this, but you know, I'll start it tomorrow. Maybe next week I'll get around to it. And pretty soon the whole year is gone and we haven't started the project. The lazy man is one that finds reasons why they shouldn't start a project. They procrastinate and the project never gets off the ground. The work never gets done. But unlike the lazy man, the diligent is a self-starter. Notice what it said there in verses 7 and 8 of Proverbs 6. It says, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. The ant is a great example of diligence. They plan ahead and they work hard. They work in the summer to provide for the cold weather that's coming. And these verses also allude to the fact that the ant doesn't need someone to oversee to make sure they keep busy. They're diligent without a boss looking over their shoulder. And I thought, wouldn't it be interesting to see statistics or surveys that show how much more work is accomplished when the boss is around than when the boss is absent. And so I Googled that and I typed in some different ways to say it, and I could not find any of those surveys. It seemed like every time I put on, you know, the work production when the boss is absent versus present and stuff like that. And all I kept coming back to was articles about how to handle an overbearing boss. How you should respond when your boss expects too much of you. That's all I was coming up with, and I began to think, what? See, the concern, and oftentimes in our culture, the concern is, I don't want to be mistreated. I don't want to be treated unfairly. I don't want to have too much expected of me. Now, I mean, I've told you some stories about my grocery store years at Lee and Dad's Grocery in Belgrade, but it was amazing the difference in production when Jim and Dan, who were our bosses, were there versus when Jim and Dan weren't there. And things that were done in the back room, and so a project that should have taken 15 minutes that took 30 because you know you're just sort of coasting into lunch or coasting into the end of your shift. But when the boss was around it, you didn't coast. You wanted to look busy. You wanted to impress the boss. But a diligent person, it makes no difference whether the boss is there or not. They're going to work hard. The diligent's a self-starter. They don't need anyone looking over their shoulder to make sure they're working. And the ant works hard and prepares. We also see that a lazy man will not finish a project. Sometimes they'll get it started, but then they won't complete it. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 5 says, he who gathers in summer is a wise man. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. The harvest is there and you need to go out and you need to harvest the crops. And what happens? The lazy man is busy relaxing. Other passages talk about that they're spending their time on the frivolous instead of getting the work done. The lazy man doesn't finish a project. They're known for their half-done tasks. So we see that they don't finish the project. But unlike the lazy man, the diligent completes the task. Proverbs 6:8 there in looking at the ant. The ant provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. The diligent man does not lose interest or motivation in the middle of a task. They see it through until completion, no matter how difficult the task is that they're striving to do. Oftentimes we get a task and it becomes a lot more than we think it is, right? You ever had one of those tasks? You say, oh, this will be a 10-minute task, and 2 hours later you're still working on it. If you're like me, what do you want to do? Say, that's okay. Plumbing. There's some rules to plumbing. The first rule of plumbing is this. Your best advice is probably to call the plumber at the beginning. But if you don't, and you say, this is a simple task, you know, I'm just going to put a new faucet and drain on this sink. That should be really easy. You always do it when the stores are open because you'll need to go back several times. So always do it. Never start a plumbing project at 9 at night because you're going to have a miserable night. But what happens in the middle of the task if you're like me? You're like, oh, why did I even do this? What is that plumber's number? But the diligent person is going to take and they're going to complete the task. They're going to do everything they can to make sure it is accomplished. They're not going to stop halfway through, throw up their hands and say, oh well. They're diligent. They work to complete the task. The lazy man makes excuses. Proverbs 22:13 says, the lazy man says, there's a lion outside, I shall be slain in the streets. And if you're looking at that passage, Solomon is using a silly example. Oh, I can't do this. I'm sure there's something that's going to go wrong. So they're always making excuses. Now, if you work and you work in a building with other workers, you can probably name the list of people that are really good at that. Hopefully your name's not on that list, right? But they're always making excuses why they don't get the job done. Oh yeah, I would have had this done, but... Now, don't get me wrong. There are times where there's legitimate reasons you don't get something done. That's okay. But for the lazy person, that's just constant. They're always having reasons. I mean, if they would take as much effort in just doing the job as they do in coming up with these incredibly innovative excuses, they would have the job done long ago. They live in a different reality. And they're always sharing why they can't get the job done. But there's another aspect of their alternate reality. They are very good at recognizing when their coworkers don't meet the standard that they expect of them. They are busy noticing coworkers that in their mind fail to meet the standard. I remember growing up, I had one brother, still have one brother. And it's amazing. Actually, I was the one. He was the older brother. But it was amazing. I was very good at recognizing when Jim didn't fulfill the task that was expected of him. I mean, if there were 12 dishes to be washed and mom and dad would say, all right, guys, each of you do half of it. They knew if we did it together, we'd probably get in a fight. So oftentimes they'd split it up. Okay, you do this part, you do this part. So if there were 12 dishes... and my brother only did 5, I noticed. And I wanted to make sure mom and dad noticed. He didn't do his fair share. Now, it didn't make any difference that I had only done 2. Because he hadn't done his half. And that's what the lazy person is like. They are so busy noticing when someone else doesn't do their part. And they are so busy noticing others, they don't notice themselves. You know, Jesus spoke of that in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7. And in the middle of that sermon or message to the people there on that hillside, he used the picture of a person that notices the speck in their neighbor's eye, but doesn't notice the 2x4 in their own. And that's what a lazy person does. They notice when their workmate or their family member, their sibling, doesn't accomplish all that they should accomplish. But for that lazy person, if they don't do their part, it's okay. They've got an excuse. If you have children, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? And I remember as a child, I was very good at that. My brother, he needed help. And I was making sure that mom and dad recognized that. They make excuses. But while the lazy are busy making excuses or examining the work of others, the diligent is busy working. The diligent works hard. Proverbs 24:27 says, "Prepare your outside work, make it fit for yourself in the field, and afterward build your house." The idea of making sure you got the outside projects done before it gets too cold. And work hard. Don't get caught not having the job done. And so we see that the lazy person makes excuses, the diligent works hard. And just like the ant, we need to work hard in everything we do. We also see that Proverbs shares the results of diligence and laziness. And again, a contrast between the lazy person and the diligent and the results that take place in their lives. The lazy person faces poverty. Proverbs 19, verse 15 says, "Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger." You see, the lazy person is not willing to work and will face poverty because of their laziness. And what happens is then they come to a place where they feel entitled. Well, I deserve this, even though I didn't work for it. Now, for everybody, there's times when we have needs that we need to have others step in and help with. I understand that. That's not what I'm talking about. But for the lazy person, it's just a constant thing. I don't want to work hard, but I want to receive things. And that goes against God's desire for our lives. And the lazy person, it says there, as we read it in Proverbs chapter 6, it says that it sneaks up on that lazy person. And so we have to be careful that we work hard. And we don't allow laziness to creep into our lives, because the result of laziness will be poverty. But it goes on, in a contrast to that, we see that the diligent has provision. Proverbs 12, verse 11 says, "He who tills the land will be satisfied with bread, but he who follows frivolity is devoid of understanding." The diligent works hard to provide for himself, to provide for his family, unlike the lazy person. And then we also see that the lazy man loses freedom and the diligent leads others, both found in Proverbs 12:24. So first, the lazy man loses freedom. The last part of 12, verse 24 says, "But the lazy man will be put to forced labor. But the diligent leads others." The first part of Proverbs 12:24 says, "The hand of the diligent will rule." The diligent will be put in a position of leadership. And you say, "But John, I've worked very hard in my job, and others that don't work nearly as hard as I do get the promotions or get the recognition. Our team at work or our school, we had a team project at our school, and I put in all the work, and the others seem to be the ones that got the recognition. The others seem to be the one that got the promotion, so it's not fair. So why work hard when my hard work won't be noticed?" And I know there are unfair bosses. I know there are projects that you put in so much more than everyone else, and they just sort of ride on the coattails. But I also know that ultimately, when you're diligent, you will be rewarded. Because it says in Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, It says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." Here's the background to what Paul wrote there in Colossians, and there's a very similar passage to that in Ephesians. But we see that he was speaking actually to a group of slaves, and they were dealing with unfair masters. And oftentimes, the master would even treat them in inhumane ways. But the challenge to those slaves was to continue to work hard, to be diligent in all they did. Why? Because their ultimate master, Jesus Christ, would recognize and reward the effort they made. And so no matter how unfair the earthly boss is, no matter how much they don't notice the extra effort that you put in, God sees. And God rewards. And that reward may not come even in this lifetime. But you see, we are to honor God. We are to worship God, not just in church, not just singing our praises. We're to worship God in our work. Whether it be on the job, whether it be in our family, wherever the situation is, when we have a task or a project to do, we need to honor God in the way we work. We should be the one at the office that is known as the most diligent, rather than the one that makes excuses. We should be the one that, and when the project is taking place, if it's a team project, we do our part plus maybe even a little extra. Because we're doing it to honor and worship God. So Solomon shares the importance of diligent. And there are many, many verses throughout Proverbs that share the importance of diligence and a contrast between the diligent and the lazy. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we should be the most diligent. We should always give that fair day's work, whether or not we receive a fair day's wage. You see, because it's not about our boss, our co-worker, our sibling, whoever it would be. It's about our God. And that is who we strive to honor. Whatever state in life, retired, in the middle of employment, as a student, whatever our place in life, we honor God with our work. That is what we're challenged to do. So I want to give us just a little diligence quiz. All right, so just a few questions here that you can think through and answer to yourself. Question number one, do you find that you have projects that you are avoiding? You love Annie, right? Annie, tomorrow, I love you tomorrow, you're only a day away. Hers was a little different thing, but you say tomorrow, I'll get about it tomorrow. Is your life filled with half-finished projects? Do you blame others and give excuses for a lack of production? Do you find yourself often using the term tomorrow when talking about projects? How well do you take care of your possessions? It's interesting, there's some verses in Proverbs that talk about how the diligent will care for what he has. He will take care of the meat, etc. While the lazy man, the sluggard, will just let things fall apart. How well do you take care of your possessions? Would your workmates consider you a hard worker? Does your work ethic represent Christ well? And what will you do in order to be more diligent in 2019? We all have work to do. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do today? What are you going to do this week? And what are you going to do this year to improve your diligence? Maybe as a student, you say, hey, I've got a project due in 3 weeks, but this week I'm going to get the outline done, even if the teacher's not expecting it this week. You're at work. What are you going to do this week to improve your diligence quotient? What are you going to do? So on Friday, I had an opportunity to see diligence at work. And as I said, in some ways, I'm like, you know, Solomon talks about it. It's part of Proverbs 6. We're going through it. But I think we have some incredibly diligent people in our church. And so on Friday, 9 of us went up to Mizpah, our camp, and put up a bathroom. Now, we have a picture of what it was when we started Friday morning. And that's what it was like. And Friday evening when we ended, it was like that. So pretty amazing. And if you can't see, most of the roof is sheeted too. We still have to run out on the two ends and things like that. And you know, it was really cool to watch everybody work hard. And I don't remember what number of word, but that word watch may have something to do with it. But I really noticed that 8 of the 9 people worked really, really hard. I mean, unbelievably hard to get all that done in one day. And so I noticed that, but I promised that I would not share my name as the one that didn't quite keep up with the others. But I promised that I wouldn't share my name, so I won't tell you who it was that didn't keep up. But it was amazing to watch the work. And you know the most incredible part? After first service, I had someone come up and share with me about how a group of followers of Christ, of Christians, were doing a project, and there was a guy that watched them. And he watched them work. And he said, so are you guys getting paid for this? And they said, no. We're just excited about it happening. And you know, the amazing thing was that person came to Jesus Christ because of the work ethic of the Christians that they observed. And that's what it should be like for us. Whether we're in the workplace and our workmates see our integrity and our honesty, as well as our diligence, and are drawn to Christ because of the way we work and the life we live. Or maybe it's a family member that sees our love, our integrity, and our diligence, and wants to see what we have because they want to have what we have. Solomon said, consider the ant and make sure you recognize all that the ant does and be like the ant. Don't be like the person in verses 9 through 11, the sluggard, the lazy man. Be like the ant in verses 6 through 8, who demonstrates diligence. And we can demonstrate diligence and honor God in the way we work. And that's our challenge, not just for today, not just for this week, not just for this year, but make it a lifestyle. But start today. Or improve today. Or continue on in your diligence today. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for your goodness and your love, and I pray that you would help us today to be known as diligent people, to honor you with the way we work, whether it's on the job or responsibilities in our home or wherever it would be. Lord, help us to be diligent people, and help us to be known for our diligence. Help us not to fall into the trap of laziness and excuses. But Lord, help us to work hard. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.